Hello there.
This is an incoming transmission from the Outer Rim Beacon.
Everything leading up to this moment has been rehearsal. The real performance is about to begin. I'm counting on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have now tuned in to the Outer Rim Beacon, your frequency for everything in that galaxy far, far away. I'm Justin, I'm one of the hosts. Joining me today, as always, are my co-hosts.
This is Josh. I have a conspiracy theory I'd like to share. There's a ghostwriter on the X-Men.
Oh, is there? Mm-hmm. Who is it?
He was on this show once as a guest. Known for killing characters we love.
You're just now getting caught up.
I know it's you. Dying. I know it's you, Scott.
That's Kevin Scott, not somebody Scott somebody.
Not right. Scott somebody.
I know, yeah. I'm being aggressive and just saying his last name.
That's for the fans. This is, yeah. Kyle, and yeah, that's probably, I think Josh is a week late though with that, right? You're talking about last week's episode of X-Men.
I am.
Yeah, just making sure.
It's okay. The writing on that show is amazing.
Makes Bad Batch look even worse by comparison.
I was going to say, it's hard when I watch Bad Batch first and then watch X-Men. And we have mulled changing this into an X-Men podcast. Let's just be real.
I'm ready now because Bad Batch
is that
boring.
Bird the devil?
The writing is so good. The animation is so good.
It's a demon. It's like a Native American spiritual, like a,
the only reason I asked is because they called I don't know if they actually called the bird this, but it was in the subtitles. It said the adversary.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that can be anything, but I think they're probably trying to make it sound biblical, regard even if that's not the, you know.
Such a cool character though.
Yeah,
the show is amazing though. It's so fun to watch. And they're bringing in literally everybody and their brother.
Did you guys watch today series. Yet?
Yeah, I watched today's earlier, but I'm gonna watch it again. But you're right, the adversary character or whatever the owl thing is played very well. Storm is just outstanding. Chef's kiss. But yeah, it's a great series, great show. So people, if you're not watching it, tune in, watch it. It's amazing. It's awesome. You love X-Men, you're going to love it.
So. I recommend it way more than most of the stuff on TV right now, including The Bad Batch.
Yeah.
The best part for me is I'm not familiar enough with like the vast majority of comic book storylines for X-Men. So like all this stuff, I'm like, Charles is alive and with the Kree? Like,
he's with the Shi'ar, but yes.
It's like a daytime opera.
Exactly. And wrong one. I knew it was. So right after I said it, I was like, crap, that's who they were killing. Wrong one. But I couldn't remember the other name. Yeah, okay.
It's all right.
It's a daytime soap opera for X-Men lovers, so it's fantastic. But
that's really what long-form comic books are if you really read them.
True. Mm-hmm. Except you had to wait longer in between to get the issues. You're good. Sorry.
My one nitpick, though, is like, this is a thing I think in any comic book type thing, but it's like, there's no rules about like who calls who by their real name or their hero name and where. It's like, why are Rogue and Gambit like hanging out in the backyard in casual clothes and she's still going Gambit? Like, why? That you wouldn't. But then again, I'm like, pro wrestlers do that. Like, even the public knows Triple H's name is Paul Levesque, but they still like, and it's not even like. They call him Hunter when they're talking to him, not even like when they're on screen or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a pick and choose thing. And like to add another layer to that, like Magneto has three names. He's Magnus and Eric.
Yeah.
So good, though.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, don't get me wrong. Bad Batch this season has been phenomenal as far as Bad Batch goes. As far as Bad Batch goes, in the previous two seasons, this season's been much better than the other two.
I felt like we liked season one pretty well. Did we not?
Yeah, but weren't we getting like side quest after side quest, and it was just kind of like, man, what are we doing here? Why aren't we talking about Order 66 and what happened?
Season one was pretty good. We got the Order 66 stuff. We got the, you know, the fall of Topoka City at the end there.
Well, true.
You know what it is the thing we liked about the first season was all the world building and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's what we liked the most, at least. And then this season, like, there's actually been some really awesome episodes. But it's like, I don't know that any of it is. It's like awesome in this bubble, but I don't know if I would put any of that, like any of those episodes, in like my, you know, top 10 Star Wars animated episodes.
Right.
Maybe I
feel like it's moving so slow. Like today we had one whole episode, and all it was Omega punching a hole in the wall and the Bad Batch hitching a ride on a ship. That was the whole episode. I mean,
it was a grinder. Yeah, it was a grinder.
It felt like the only acceptable way for that to be a thing was if it was like the first half of a two part.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, for this to be the only thing we saw today, and then what, last week was a bit of a stinker too. Like, yeah.
The Fast and Furious episode of Bad Batch. Yeah.
Drop. You have to put it in that time.
I was waiting on some Ludacris to pop in there as I was going back, and I'm kind of watching him. I'm like, we should have had some Ludacris. Move, bitch, get out the way.
That song is Ludacris. So Ludacris was in there.
It was. Oh, I missed it. Oh, I gotta go.
You mean in the episode, or like our episode?
Yes.
I'd have to go back and listen. I haven't listened yet.
He put the because it's right in the, I think it's even the one I used for the clip on social media.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's Luda. Yeah.
It's real quick. It's the Too Fast, Too Furious song.
Well, let's get.
Actually, that was before he was in the movie, though.
Yeah. Let's dive into a little bit of news and notes for this week. Star Wars Inquisitors. I apologize because I didn't have any opportunity today to get any notes in here. So
Josh took notes.
Thank you, Josh.
Hell froze over. What's going on? I don't understand.
Appreciate it. Let's talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, no,
Inquisitors.
I happened to. Yeah, so they. Where are my notes? There they are. Sorry, I have so many things open, so many porn tabs. Okay. It's a comics miniseries, Marvel, you know, as it normally is. And I literally just closed my notes. I was trying to make it bigger, and I clicked the X like a boomer, not knowing how to use it.
There's only available three options up there.
July 3rd? Is that right?
It's coming out July 3rd. It's a miniseries. I couldn't find out, like, I don't know how many, if it's like a three, if it's a five, whatever. Mm-hmm. Written by Rodney Barnes and art by Ramon Rosanas. Sorry, if I probably messed that up. It follows Empire's Jedi Hunters as they narrow down on a new target, Tensu Run, a survivor of Order 66, because there's always got to be another one of those. Pete.
There are only two there. Look were. My goodness, now there's a 56.
Ah. Maybe that, you know, maybe Order 66 is because 66 of them survived.
Yeah. Enough's enough. Anyway. Sorry. Sure,
he's looking
game.
To spread hope and rebuild the Jedi Order. He has won the attention of Darth Vader, who is determined to have him killed at any cost. That was on StarWars.com.
That's cool.
They always.
It'll probably be interesting. But to me, that's like, that's why we explore new times and new corners and new areas, like more Darth Vader, more Inquisitors. That means, well, now we've got to make up a new Jedi that survived because we already know what happens to everybody else. Like, I don't they know people are irritated by that already?
And they always seem to win the attention of Darth Vader. Like, that always, it's like his whole thing is like getting rid of Jedi.
Okay. Is that all Darth Vader did for whatever, 20, 30 years was just hunt down these individual rogue Jedi.
To be fair, that's what he did in EU too. I mean, the Great Jedi Purge. But in back then, it was just him.
No,
there were no Inquisitors. You know, it was, he single-handedly, you know. Anyway, yeah.
All right. Well, you can check it out, StarWars.com/news/Marvel Star Wars Inquisitors. Right? All right. Then we got some news on Ubisoft. Is that right?
Yeah. So have you guys heard about the Ubisoft backlash? Heard about this?
No.
Seen this? Heard
about this? This is for Outlaws?
No.
Are we talking about for Outlaws?
Yeah, for Outlaws.
Okay.
So, you know, people are upset about, paying for extra content in a single player game. I've just kind of, I'm resigned to the fact that it's going to happen. And I feel like in the Assassin's Creed games, I buy the DLC, usually like way after the fact, but, and it's pretty, like, pretty meaty, you know. Update
meaty.
To the, you know, yeah, good mouthfeel. So, but people, there was a specific point of backlash because they're one of the things that you get in the, I think like the two top tier, in the season pass with the two top tier additions, there was a Jabba the Hutt, like Jabba's Gambit mission.
Okay.
And so I think people were under the impression that like you were only going to get to work with Jabba, which it was something that they've been like advertising and talking about in interviews, like that you were only going to get to be able to do that behind a paywall. And so then they released a statement that, you know, Jabba the Hutt and the Hutt Cartel are one of the main syndicates in the game and will be available for everybody. And that mission is just an additional mission. With, you know, with Jabba, it's not, and it's available to anybody that buys the season pass in any edition.
That sounds super normal to me. Like every game, every online game these days has extra content, downloadable missions that you can choose to do or not do, and you'll get some kind of loot from it, I'm sure. Yes, I don't get why people, I mean, I get why people are upset because they're always upset, but it seems normal to me.
Yeah. Agreed.
Were you guys aware, I when I was researching this stuff, I wasn't, I mean, obviously we know it falls somewhere in the original trilogy, but from just the references we see, but I couldn't remember if there were any in the, oh, I guess there, no, there is.
There was Han and
Carbonite.
Very
specific reference, so. Yeah, I forgot, yeah. Never mind, that's what I was just going to ask if you guys realized that, but yeah, we all realized it, because there's a very good indicator.
That would be the
probably
the dead
best
giveaway.
Indicator.
Falls in a specific 3-year time period.
So I would guess you get like some kind of reward for that specific Jabba mission that you can only play behind the extra content. But
yeah, I don't know what kind of loot, how the game's going to be set up, but I'm sure you'll get some kind of weapon or whatever customizable outfit or something for completing it.
Man, it used to be that you didn't have downloadable content. You'd play a game on normal mode, you beat it, you were done, you went back, you played it on hard mode. That was about it.
I will say the Ubisoft games I've played, I have never needed to use the stuff I got from the the stuff you get from the extra missions is never like the greatest thing you can get. Through regular
like
gameplay, you can always get the most powerful stuff. So it's like, to me, unless you're a completionist trying to check every single box, it's really not worth getting bent out of shape about.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I was waiting for Justin to be like, oh, back in my day, we didn't play games. We went to work.
Yeah. No, I've been playing games for a long time, man. I've seen a lot of changes in games, and it's been a good run. But, I mean, the graphics and what you can play now is, I mean,
I'll
nothing
say
like
I'm too old. They're, they've just gotten too complicated. There's just way too much going on in most games.
It's a good point. Like the side quests, like you got like 20 million side quests to your main mission now.
And even like games like Witcher and Fallout and stuff, there's like you got to collect 600 different types of things and craft things and build things and go things and do missions. And like, it's all use this to do that to do. It's just so complicated. You got to remember 4 million things. You got to take notes to play a game. No, thanks.
Got to take notes to play a game. And back in the day, we used to have to write the passwords down on paper. Yeah. There was no paying like, for cheat codes.
If we're playing a tabletop game and it takes more than like 5 minutes to explain it to me, I don't want to play it.
Yeah. There was a period there with Destiny, the game Destiny, where people would literally like, you would give like your login and password to somebody else and you would pay them and they would upgrade your character, like build your character up. So you really didn't even have to play the game. And I'm like, why are we doing this?
I don't like
that's, right. That's what I'm saying. That's not fun by any like, here, wait, you build my character up for me, get me all this cool stuff, and then I get to play with it. Like, wait a minute. Ridiculous.
Hey, listen, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Let's old man yelling at Cloud.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau were pretty good though.
Walter
Matthau. I'm just impressed that I pulled those names out of my butt.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I think I ended up watching Grumpy Old Men on TV the other day because it was on. Still pretty funny.
Because they're your peers?
So. Yeah.
It's like, I went to school with that guy.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, let's dive into...
Poor Justin.
Let's dive into our main topic here, which I think is going to be a short topic this week, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a very bad batch.
Bad Batch. Woo. Season 3.
Fight Robin.
Episode 13, Into the Breach. And I think last week I said episode 13. Last week was episode 12. This week is episode 13, Into the Breach. Two different stories going on. Omega's back in the lab with the other kids. Now has a lab jumpsuit on instead of the clothes they checked her in with. Mm-hmm. So they did kind of do a searchy search and got her in a uniform. And then... basically, the Bad Batch trying to rescue her and getting a little help from Echo and rented or stolen Imperial cargo shuttle thing. So,
do you know what kind of ship that was? I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
I don't know offhand.
Whatever thing Echo showed up in. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like the shuttles that they use later on, the Empire uses later on, but it had a huge
thing of cargo bay. It had like a separate little bay. Cockpit. Area, which is like completely separate from the rest of the ship, which is different.
Yeah. Which it's a little weird. Just Echo shows up to help. Like, we're not getting any help from Rex. We're not getting any help from Wool. Like, none of the other clones that we've pulled out so far.
Yeah. And
I think Gregor, Rex is going to be the like savior next week or whatever.
Oh.
At the end.
That's a good. So maybe if they once they get there and they have coordinates and they know where it's at, call in the cavalry.
Yep,
I gotcha. Makes sense. And I think actually,
ooh, I just booked the territory in my brain. Do you guys want to hear it?
Sure,
sure.
So part of that rescue includes one returning from parts unknown, Commander Cody. And he has some sort of like messiah death. You know, I die to save the main someone with more plot armor, which would write him off, which we need because he's not with the guys when they're older. And but it also gives him, we already saw the start of his redemption arc, could complete that. And then it also, you know, it can explain why some people are still around and some people aren't still around. Although I'm really interested to see what they do with the Batch and with Omega.
Yeah, I wonder if Wolf will show back up too.
Just to note, episode 14 is called Flash Strike, which makes sense because they are about to do a flash strike on Tantus. And episode 15 is titled The Cavalry Has Arrived. So a little on the nose in the last two episodes after this
they
one.
They should not release those titles before they come out.
Probably not.
They should do just like Mando where you can't, like if you're watching it when it first comes out, that you can't see the title on the...
Until you think the cavalry is going to be Rex and clones and it's Vader and a bunch of stormtroopers.
More Imperials.
Yeah.
Good point. Oh, that could be too.
Or it's Hondo.
You know what? Speaking of, not that I'm convinced that Hondo's not going to show up now, but we had Ventress come be in this show for one episode to talk to Omega and then disappear and never be a part of it again. Like that, I don't know. It just seems weird in hindsight, like stuff's not all coming together. Or maybe it will, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They did say that, like, someone at Disney or Lucasfilm said that, like, we're going to get more Ventress stories. Whether it's... They didn't say what medium, mm-hmm. but...
I think we're going to get something with her and potentially Quinlan Vos. And probably an animated form, because that whole, now that she's kind of like turned back toward to the light and she's helping out a little bit, and we know Quinlan's out there helping the Force sensitive kids, which we have in this episode, I think we can get a series or something, a collection of stories or something with those two kind of on that underground, the path or whatever that was. The underground
would be cool
path.
If she popped back up to take these Force-sensitive kids. Although I guess they still mm-hmm. have families out there somewhere they could go back to.
She could help them find them on the path.
Although
to
they probably can't just go back to their family. I mean, this is not what we're here. Well, I mean, it's worth talking about, but they can't just go back to their families. They would just be captured again by the Empire, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now that they're
I don't worried. Know. It'd be a cool story though, and I'd like to see a little bit of a love interest there with Quinlan and Ventress again. Mm. Bring them back together. Be awesome. All right.
Ventress live action show?
Ooh, live action?
Who plays her?
Be hard to pull off.
Who plays her?
Those aliens don't always look good in live action.
See the Grand Inquisitor.
Yes.
Yeah, but she doesn't have any like weird features. She can just be a bald human with makeup on.
I mean, the Grand Inquisitor was a bald human with makeup on.
No, there's a facial prosthetic there, whereas like, you know, Ventress just has a human head.
She even got hair. She's got hair now.
It's true.
Yeah.
Very true. Well, let's dive into observations from this week's episode. Kyle, I'll start with you because I like your take here. This is pretty interesting. I like this.
So it looks like Omega's trying to do a Shawshank, right? She's going to climb through a hole in the wall. I mean, obviously, she's not going to carve it with, you know, rock carving tools over the course of 10 years like Andy Dufresne. She's just going to pop the panel out. But... one, this seems like very low potential for success, to me, like probably better than what the little green guy tried just going out the front door, but still like Omega wasn't even all the way to her room, cell, whatever you want to call it. Before the mean doctor was already walking down to check on what she's doing. So like how long are these four kids going to be just sneaking out that no one notices? I mean, I guess they could do it in the middle of the night when they're supposed to be asleep, but whatever. And then how is this going to line up with, the Bad Batch trying to break her out too? Are we just going to like coincidentally, they're going to be in the middle of the walls right when they show up and start creating a disturbance and help break them out? Like that's a little convenient for me if that's how it plays out. But, yeah, I don't know. What do we think? Are they actually going to get in that hole in the wall?
I don't know. That's what was confusing, because I'm like, it didn't look like it was big enough to fit. She looked at like the tube, but then she like looked up the wall and it was like big enough to like climb out of or something.
There's a whole
but
opening in there, it looked like.
You've got an infant that with you. How are you going to get the little infant out? Because the infant can't climb itself out, so somebody's going to have to carry it. Nobody has a backpack or a satchel or anything like that. Like, there's a lot of details to this plan that maybe they're just not vetted yet or come out yet. But yeah, it just seems a little odd. And the first time she broke out, realistically, she got lucky most of the time.
Well, and she had way, way, way more freedom. She was like almost an employee at that point. Now she's
right
in the vault, you know? Mm-hmm.
I mean, she had Crosshair's help.
I get it. She's not just going to sit there and be woe is me, but I don't know. Just seemed like...
Dr. Scalder is the...
Ah, there we
Dr. go. Dr. Scalder is the angry doctor, or the one, the judgy McJudgerson doctor that's always watching her.
I feel like somebody's watching me.
I'm paranoid. I can't sleep. I'm in a dope game. Is that the one you guys were doing?
Yeah, they're always hanging around upstairs just watching them. Like, I don't know. It's weird. And we're still taking blood samples. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, Josh. All right. What do you got?
Mine just kind of piggybacks on Kyle's, but I'm going to expand it. I just wrote, why are they so dumb? And who's they? Ask me. Who's they?
Who's they?
Who's they?
Literally most everyone.
Are we talking good guys, bad guys, or all of them?
The kids in the vault, including Omega, they have you under constant surveillance, and there's nowhere to hide. And you're the highest priority target in the whole on the whole planet. I don't see how there's any way that they're able to escape notice long enough to get out.
Well, and
it just doesn't make any sense
at all.
Like,
there's what, five of them in there? Like, give me a break. And as
I don't think even Omega could get out by herself with the amount of, like, there's nowhere. Like you said, she was three steps to her room and they were already coming down to see what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she's like setting up the little mat. Like, they can see they're above you. They can see what you're doing. Like,
and not to mention, like, she went in there with her little tool that she stole and they didn't even notice that it was gone. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Dr. Carr didn't notice it was missing off the tray.
Yeah, that's Exhibit A. Exhibit B, oh, if we just scrape off our armor, they'll think we're Imperials.
Yeah, that was one of my... I saw Kyle had put it there on his pick of nits, and I was thinking the same thing. Like,
that's how many nits I have. I had to put it in the observation.
Yeah, part. That like, because, what was the point of that? Like, the first thing the guy said when he saw him was like, that's not regulation armor. Like, well, good thing we scrubbed the paint off, huh? Like,
yeah, and all you have to do is steal the armor of the first three stormtroopers you shock.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which at this point they've done multiple times, right? Like, you're telling me you never, like,
the number one thing you do in all of Star Wars.
So I don't think they've ever done it. It's the Rebels crew that does it.
And, yeah, I was going to say, Kanan did
it. Like, it's like a Star Wars trope.
These guys are like, no, we're keeping this. They won't know. Here, let's wear our old ass clone
armor
in
snobs.
There.
All the clones are like that stormtrooper armor.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Low quality.
You're not wrong, Josh. They're all dumb. Whether it's the good guys, bad guys, everybody's just doing dumb stuff.
If you ask Rex, he would tell you clone trooper armor, and then the stormtrooper armor is the clone trooper armor off wish.com.
Rex didn't even like the later phases of the clone armor.
Yep, right. That's why he refashioned his own helmet.
He was an armor hipster.
He was. He knew his stuff, man. He knew his stuff. Yeah, I didn't have any like over the top observations other than we thought Rampart really hated clones before, and this episode just kind of reiterated that. For a minute, I thought we were going down like Agent Kallus redemption path. No, Rampart hates clones, and it's evident that he wants nothing to do with them.
He's just like most of the Imperial like upper brass who are just looking out for their own self interest, no matter what. Like, he fell right into line here now that he knew these guys were his best chance at freedom.
Yep.
He was the best part of the episode for
Agreed.
Me. He was, like, he was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part three of why are they so dumb? The other they, the Imperials. Like, how?
Yeah. We're just taking everybody's word for it. You talk a good game and carry a clipboard and you can walk into anywhere, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy working the dock, the Imperial officer working the dock when he came back, and Wrecker is just like sitting down with his like helmet tipped back. Like, that wouldn't have been your first indicator to go, wait a minute, this clone is not like, you know, you're not supposed to be taking your helmet off. He's just sitting down, like he's not doing any. I think he was playing a video game on a tablet, like, for all I know.
On his phone, basically.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on here? And he didn't even ask a question. He's just like, oh, well, this ship number doesn't check out. Well, now you're realizing that the trooper in there doesn't check out either. So
you had to sideline him. Well, and he's like 6'6", 350 pounds or whatever. Like, whatever.
Doesn't match the others. I did like that line, though. He goes, I had to sideline him. Rampart, he's like, I can't wear this. And they're like, why not? And they're like, this is a captain's uniform. And they all just look at him blankly, like, what's your point? He's like, I was a vice admiral.
You got demoted.
It's like, oh, man. But yeah, he was agreed the best part of this episode this week. So we kind of dove into a little bit of our nitpicks this week. Kyle, what else did you have other than the paint armor?
Yeah, that, I mean, the thing they had to strip the paint was pretty cool, I guess, but I don't understand why they did it. The other one I had was when they realized they couldn't just steal the coordinates from the science vessel. Rampart was like, well, you know, the security's super high. There's no way you'll be able to sneak. You'll all be able to sneak on unnoticed. And Echo's like, no, but I can. And I'm like, well, why? Why can you? Like, why can't Hunter? Why can't, I mean, I get maybe Wrecker can't because he's giant, but go ahead, Josh.
Little scumpy
He's
arm.
The scump daddy. Mm-hmm. Well, nope. They don't have a scump. Well,
sure.
They have scump envy.
But that doesn't mean he's able to sneak onto the ship better than anybody else, does it?
No, but you need a scump once you get there.
That's, I mean, sure. I get why he needed to be on the ship, but like, that wasn't the conversation they were having.
the explanation as to why he was the one that needed to go was not.
Yeah, because he wasn't like, well,
it's because they were like, you're the one that's part robot, so get out of here. We don't serve your kind here.
It was just,
you're not from around.
It was just really dumb. They should have phrased it very differently. I mean, we can't all go together. Well, I'm the only one who can break the encryption, so I'll just go by myself. Like, why didn't they say that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then we talked about the faint stripping. Kyle, any others for this week? Or
I hated this episode. I mean, hate is a strong word. I just didn't like it. I was bored. I watched it. I couldn't sleep. I watched it like 3:30 in the morning, and I was like, Jesus Christ, I should have just laid in bed and looked at the back of my eyes. This was stupid. Like, what a waste honest of 27 opinion. Minutes. It was dumb. Like, but it, for as a standalone episode, it was just it was so boring. It was a waste of time.
I gotcha. Josh, what about you? What nits do you have to pick with this week's episode?
Better or worse than the racing episode?
I hated that one too. At least that was,
I think,
like,
it's better than that one.
I think it was probably worse. At least the racing episode had like the John Ralphio droid cracking wise and being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? So the racing one was a better standalone episode, but this one is better in context because it does, at least it does a little bit more to forward the overall.
Well, I'm sure if you watch these last like four or five episodes of the series in a row, they'll be fine altogether. One episode by itself today was dumb. And honestly, I don't think we were jazzed up last week either.
No. It was
no, well,
slow.
And that's it. You know, the other nit I have to pick is that, you know, normally when a show is bad, it still provides like fun music cues that I think of for the show, and I can't think of anything for this dumb episode. Mm. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, I didn't like that episode last week, but those things remind me of Fast and Furious, so let's go. But like,
yeah, this was just boring.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Scalder kind of bugged me a little bit, to your point, Kyle. She was like on Omega like a hawk, and like as soon as she walked into a room, she was like already walking downstairs.
Oh, you
and
know
I'm like,
what?
Okay.
I remember what I was going to say when Josh said everybody was stupid. All those kids telegraphed it too. So like Omega was like, hey, those I'm going to go. I just need a couple minutes, whatever. I'm going to go check it out, see if this works. As soon as she got up from the table, every single kid like looked at her and looked up at the windows and looked at her and looked and like, oh, is anybody watching? Like they had no poker face whatsoever. They basically shouted like, hey, something's up.
You know what? But that kind of like, here's a good off the cuff thank the maker that ties into. Almost reminds me of Return of the Jedi Luke hid the lightsaber in R2 and they're all kind of like looking at each other going, and it's that bump. Bomp music that's just going as they're looking at each other. Less tense in this scenario, but yes, there you go. she was like all over Emery Carr about what she's doing, and I'm like, okay, if you don't like what she's doing, why don't you go talk to Dr. Hemlock and be like, bro, she's just letting Omega have the run of the prison down there, and this is gonna end up bad. Maybe we need to like isolate Omega or do something different because I don't trust where this is going.
If this show was better and they were putting a little more thought into it, then they would be undermining her because she's a clone and disrespecting her because she's a clone, but they have not set that up at all.
The other issue I had was the cell tiles. This is where, so she goes in there, like we see where Dr. Emery takes the blood, or Dr. Carr takes the blood sample. She like pushes a button or something and like six of these panels like drop back and slide up. Mm-hmm. And then she puts the sample in the tube and then the panel closes, right?
Puts the sample in the tube or else,
And then when Omega goes in there with the little tool and like, prize one of them off, like it just pops off, and then like she can pull another one and then another one and then another one, and then like in another second all of a sudden they like detach and just randomly fall off on the floor. Are these things just held on with magnets, or would it like
if they come off that easily,
how do they work?
Shut up.
Right, I don't understand.
I assumed like, that there was like whatever 9 or 12 or something of them that were like kind of wedged together in like a track, like a track. And she popped one out and then all the other ones would come out. And then the rest of the wall is solid, but I don't know. They didn't explain.
And then she
it.
Got them back up before yeah,
she popped,
got there.
She popped that shit back in and nobody noticed.
Or outside of that, Yeah, that's true too. It was just slow.
That's the other thing. Like, they have these kids under such tight surveillance, but they're not listening to them. There's not a microphone in there. There's no, like,
it's we're just watching them from 40
feet up. No idea what these
kids
are. They're plotting an escape at the table in the middle of the room, and nobody's listening.
Right.
I don't know.
We're like, What did she draw out? It was like the map. Here's the three tables in the middle where we're at. Here's the cells.
Yeah, she drew
these
a
are
circle.
The. It was like right on the table, and they're all 40 feet above them, looking straight down on. Nobody went, oh, wait, what is she making? Like, because otherwise, why do they have them playing these games? To like study them and what
engaged.
They're doing.
That's
know.
What what's her yeah. name said.
It's crazy. It's ridiculous. So. All right. Any thank the maker moments that stood out to you guys?
I was thankful when it was over. I did not appreciate this episode.
Oh, brutal. Josh, what about you?
I like the kinder, foreboding, like dreadful synth. You know, if nothing else was good about this episode, he really set the mood and the tone. At some parts. So
Star Wars music's always good.
Yeah. The only one I really had was the planet that they met with Echo on. Was that Bespin? Because it looked a lot like Bespin. It was in the clouds.
No,
it was.
It was the other. It was the other planet that Cad Bane chased Omega 2 or whatever.
Okay.
The old cloning facility.
Gotcha. Okay. I couldn't place it at first. I was like, this looks a lot like Bespin.
I saw that on a video I watched when I was
doing okay. notes. And then just Rampart. I liked Rampart. He was good. He had a nice line in there that said, you're the ones that are going to stand out like overheated Gamorreans. And yeah, I was like, overheated. Yeah, I don't know what an overheated Gamorrean looks like, but it's probably not something you want to see.
Sweaty,
so.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Let's dive into what's got you, since this episode did not get us excited this week.
No.
Let's dive into something non-Star Wars that has you excited this week.
Why don't you go, Justin? I know the show you're about to say is very hot right now.
Yeah. So I finished the Fallout series on Amazon Prime. Fantastic show. It is fun to watch.
Did you play the game?
I played like the first one. I didn't play a lot of them after that. I have a couple of them. I have like two or three of them though. I just never actually plugged them in and played. So
how many have they made?
Maybe
six now? No, there's at least four.
There's at least four. I think they're working on a fifth one right now. So, and the gameplay got way better as it went on, but it is a fun game to play. It is pretty cool. It does star Walton Goggins, which I watched plenty with him in it, and he's fantastic.
He's great.
He was in, just to tie it in with Star Wars a little bit, he was in Justified City, was it Primeval, with Timothy Oliphant.
Or just regular Justified, yeah.
And he was also in Cowboys and Aliens, which featured Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig, who Daniel Craig was also a First Order stormtrooper.
Justified's one of my favorite shows of all time. It's great.
You keep saying that. I got to watch that show. I've heard good things. So, Moises Arias.
Justin Timberlake album.
Justified.
It is a good album. Moises Arias.
Oh, you don't like that? Cow Cry Me a River.
Oh. You gotta sing it. You gotta sing it, Josh. Moises was in Kong Skull Island with one Samuel L. Jackson. And it did include the visual and voice talents of Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows, who was also in Book of Boba Fett.
What'd he do in What We Do in the Shadows?
He's Laszlo.
Wait. Hold on. Laszlo was in Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah, he was the voice of the droid.
Which one?
The 88? The medical droid or whatever, that's the major domo speaker for...
Oh, I didn't know that. I probably did.
You
at
didn't
some
remember.
Point. I forgot.
You didn't know. Because we talked about it back when it first came out.
Yeah. But he's in the show. He's really good. He's not a huge part right now, but he's in the show as well. It's very good. But yeah, check it out. Fallout, if you haven't watched it, it's very, very good. Who wants to go
Kyle.
Next?
You want me to go?
Kyle, what? you're my big cheese, my good time boy, my rotten soldier.
I do love that show. I might watch a little bit of that tonight, actually. What We Do in the Shadows is great. I highly recommend it. That's not what I'm talking about, though. Do you want to do yours?
You do also need to watch the movie as well.
I've watched it.
No, I'm telling the listener.
Okay, I thought you were just reprimanding me.
No, go ahead.
I'm a little late to this party, but I finally watched Gen V on Amazon Prime.
So good.
It's a companion to The Boys, based on the comic book of the same name. This one's easy. I know Josh likes to get on my case about my connections being too elaborate, but this show features Clancy Brown as Professor Brink, and he plays Ryder and Savage Opress and Berg in various Star Wars properties. But if you're not watching The Boys or Gen V, I highly recommend both of them. They're great. Not family friendly, even a little bit.
They are so good.
But phenomenal. Those and Invincible are probably my favorite. Oof, geez. And now we've got X-Men 97 too. We got great comic book properties out there right now.
Mm-hmm. I will say Chance Perdomo who plays Andre Anderson in Gen V, actually just passed away. Was it a week, 2 weeks ago, I think. So, and his character was still around at the end of the show. So it'll be interesting to see if they do a season two, what happens there. But it was not an expected, it was a little bit of a surprise of his passing. So just wanted to make sure.
He's the main character.
Yep. Yep. What about you, Josh? What you got?
So they just recently announced that they're doing another one of those like Studio Ghibli like movie festivals at where they like at a Cinemark or AMC. They do like several weeks of those all a bunch of those movies, all the Miyazaki films being shown in dub and in Japanese. And Tab and I really like those, but we haven't seen all of them, and we're gonna finally have a chance to see the rest of them in theaters. And the Star Wars connection in the movie Ponyo, which is one of those, it's a Japanese version of Little Mermaid. Her father, the king of the mermaids or the mer people, is in the English dub, is voiced by Liam Neeson.
Nice.
Who also plays Qui-Gon Jinn. And speaking of Qui-Gon Jinn, even though Bad Batch is not very good right now, this week, I did start reading a new Star Wars book that came out. That Qui-Gon is, it's set in the prequel era. Let's see here.
What is that?
I can't remember what the name of it is.
Not Master and Apprentice.
No.
Okay.
No, it's new. It just came out. Star Wars, The Living Force, and it's by John Jackson Miller. So it's pre-episode one. Obi-Wan is a Padawan. Chancellor Valorum is still around.
How far into it are you?
It's like 9 chapters.
Is it good?
Yeah. And Mark, you know, Mark does the narration, nice. So
you know that's a good one.
It feels like it just feel it, you know, it feels like it's like 1999.
How's his Qui-Gon voice? How's his Liam Neeson?
Perfect.
Is it?
Oh, so good.
Nice. I'll have to check that
out. Yeah, and so so far we've had point of view chapters from Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Yaddle, Mace Windu, and a new character that you don't know that's not a Jedi. And I feel like I'm missing, like, there's like one other one. It's been kind of like all over the place, but it's cool.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, maybe I'll check that one out.
Nice.
And Yariel Poof is a smartass and makes fun of Ki Adamundi for his big head.
I mean,
there's a scene in it where they're like training younglings, and they have like a buddy cop, like, you know, Murtaugh and Riggs relationship where they're like razzing each other the whole time. It's like, and it's just like, oh man, you make fun of Kiata, and you know, he's like really easygoing and laughing and everything, and Kiata Mooney is like really serious and
stick up his butt.
Yeah.
Somebody used his head as a washboard.
But yeah, it's really good, and it was nice to come back to something familiar after so many High Republic, you know, prequel novels or whatever.
Yeah. Nice. Well, it is. Does anybody have anything else on non Star Warsy that's got them hype? Or
nope.
You guys want to wrap this up?
Let's call it a day.
Let's do this, people. We out.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
All right, guys. Hope everybody enjoyed listening to, what is this, Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 13, Into the Breach. Did not leave a memorable impression, for sure. So, just a quick reminder, we are about 2.5 weeks out from May 4th, people. Exciting stuff. Hopefully everybody can get out May 4th, celebrate some Star Wars a little bit. Merch, lots of merch dropping May 4th for everywhere.
New
so
show coming out.
Yep, new show coming out. I'm sure there is probably a ton of stuff that will drop within the next like 2.5 weeks. So just keep your ears peeled and your eyes open and see what's happening. So there's a new, looks like a Lothcat mug that's coming out at Oga's down in Florida there at the House of Mouse. So be on the lookout for that. I don't know if it's May 1st or actually May 4th that it drops, but it's pretty cool looking. So
it'll be $80.
Yeah, probably, yes. You can listen to Outer Rim Beacon anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and X, or Instagram, whatever that one is. Facebook, Twitter, X, and Instagram. God, I'm all confused. You can email us, outerrimbeacon@gmail.com. My name is Justin. You can follow me on Twitter at IamTheBendu. Where can they follow you guys?
This is Josh. I'm actually going to see Return of the Jedi performed by the Toledo Symphony Orchestra on May 4th.
Nice.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Battle of Tanab. Follow my band, Former Critics, at Former Critics on Instagram and Twitter as well.
Nice.
This is Kyle, and I am KB_Legend on all the social media.
Cash App. All the money donation sites.
Yes.
Send it to Kyle.
Venmo, hook me up.
All right, everybody.
Yeah. I'll make one if somebody
Finder.
Wants.
All right, everybody. Have a good week, and may the Force be with you.
Always.
Always.
Always. Watch out for Diddy.